Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I love that we've got women's basketball players who are becoming household names. Now, some of them you could even recognize if I just gave you first names. A little bit like Madonna. At some point, and this is more a spinoff of Shohei Ohtani, I really do want to do a show about the most recognizable athletes on the planet. And I know these are women's basketball players, and for Caitlin Clark, it's been one hell of a season. But at the same time, still, they probably don't have the name recognition that Shohei Ohtani does. Still, it is cool to see them transcend their sport and bring new fans into the fold. And last year, when Iowa and LSU battled in the national championship game, nearly 10 million people tuned in to watch. Now we know all of the games in which Iowa has played, they've seen record numbers. It's not just Caitlin Clark who's breaking scoring numbers, scoring records and setting new scoring numbers and extending what has been this incredible run for her, now her 4 years at Iowa, but it's also about people recognizing, hey, these young women are extremely talented. And so bravo, first of all, to the four teams that have survived to the women's Final Four. But bravo to the four teams that played last night, including the two that did not advance, because once again, they raised the bar for women's basketball. Lisa Bluter and Lindsey Gottlieb both told me here on the show in the last couple weeks, the way that the sport capitalizes on all of this attention and all of this hype is to continue having games on national TV. The more they're on TV, the more people see the product, the more interest there is, and the more electricity. And so it's awesome on the national platform for these women to play opposite the men, right? The last, well, certainly last night, but the last few games all have the stage to themselves because they are not played on the same nights as the men's Final Four. And it's awesome because we got a show last night between Albany and Portland, the two regionals. We got great entertainment, electric crowds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you missed it, we are bringing back, for the first time since 2020, in fact, just the second time ever, we're bringing back our Final Four categories. So you've got a couple minutes left here, because we're going to unveil them, to send us your best categories. I guess we could do Final Force categories. Your best umbrella topics, right? So Final Four breakfast foods was a really popular one in 2020. We're thinking Final Four ice cream flavors, Final Four TV shows, though some of you are saying Final Four movies. I don't know, Jay, which one would be more appealing? Gosh, there's so many of both. But I feel like there's when you come to the TV medium, there are, I don't know, a couple hundred shows that probably people are choosing from.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think TV shows will be much more recognizable than movies. Like, there's so many movies that are, I'm sure, great, but how many movies that, like, someone go, oh, you have to see this. This is a, you know, no one saw it. The TV shows, I feel like there's a generally, you have at least an idea.
Because
like,
right, they don't survive if they don't get viewers.
Exactly.
Right. So, okay. So TV shows would be over movies. I do love the idea of either video games or cartoon characters. Love famous duos, your Final Four famous duos, which is kind of funny because we're talking four, but we're talking two as well. So those are some of the ideas out there. Pizza toppings has been a popular one. So you can either weigh in on our Facebook page or send us a tweet, After Hours CBS. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's good to hear the chatter about college basketball. So we were letting you hear from Angel Reese before the top of the hour. We'll get back to the Iowa-LSU game with Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluder and the Hawkeyes who are moving on. It was one heck of a show by Caitlin with her 41 points. Crazy enough. Exactly what she had against LSU a year ago in the national championship game. So, yeah, when you hear Kim Mulkey say someone's got to learn how to guard her, she's including her Tigers in that category. But the late game, well, later, it wasn't that late. It was 9:30 Eastern time, but that's 9:30 Connecticut time. The game was taking place in Portland as the Huskies, a team that had lost five players to season-ending injuries, who was not expected to even survive to this point, the Elite Eight, battling the one seed, USC, and the Fab freshman, Juju Watkins. This game taking place, as I say, in Portland for a spot in the Final Four.
USC has the ball up top. Watkins has it, just guarded by Becker's jabs. Takes a three, top of the arc. There's the new record. 899 single season points for Watkins. Most ever by a freshman in D1 history. Outlet right wing, Watkins crosses over, spins to the lane, throws it up top, foul line catch for Davis, kick left side, Forbes wins the tie and has it, left wing triple, USC 8-1 run, we're all tied in the Elite Eight with 7:20 to play, timeout Huskies.
At that point it was 59 all, and multiple times it looked as though Connecticut would pull away, only to see the Trojans fight to get back into it, using the fast break, using their athleticism, hitting a couple of timely threes. And Juju Watkins, she kept making shot after shot. She is so smooth with the basketball. It's amazing because of her size and her height. A lot of players that are her size and height don't handle the ball as well as she does. The way she cuts through traffic, her economy when it comes to the movement, but also her strength. And this is all as an 18-year-old. She is terrific. The call's there on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. So again, 7 minutes to go. They're tied at 59 in Portland. But what has Gino Auriemma been telling us? Paige Beckers is the best player in college hoops.
Beckers with time on her side. Dribbles in half court up 73-64. Dribbles the ball to the left. Forbes on her. Fires it up top. Edwards dishes right to Mule. Nine to shoot. Off of a screen from Brady to the left. Mule finds Beckers. She probes into the D. Cradles the ball. Hangs. Floats and switches. Beckers in the Elite Eight. Has the UConn Huskies up 11 with 90 seconds to play.
Yeah, they went from being tied to up 11 because they scored 11 consecutive points. And this is with only eight healthy bodies. And they didn't even play eight, right? That's not how deep Gino Auriemma was going. He's essentially using five players, three of whom, he used we'll call it six. He had a couple of players off the bench, but they really didn't log a lot of minutes. So maybe together they equal another player. But he had three of his starters go 40 minutes in this one. Again, decimated by injuries, a very short bench against an athletic team in USC, and they were game. It was really impressive to watch the heart, but also to see how the experience came to the forefront. And Paige Bueckers, of course, wasn't able to play last year. In fact, she missed a good chunk of the last 2 years because of injuries. And so since her freshman season, she hasn't felt this good. She hasn't been able to make the same kind of impact. So 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 block shots. And for all the time she's been handling the ball, only 2 turnovers for Paige Bueckers. And maybe you just expect that UConn should punch his ticket because of its history. But honestly, this one was really, it was really, I don't want to say out of nowhere, because with the coaching staff and the talent they have on the roster, of course, they're still one of the best teams in college basketball. But it was unlikely. It was not the best opportunity they've ever had. They just made the most of their chances, and they are tough as nails, which I really appreciate. So for that 11 consecutive points in the fourth quarter, they were able to pull away and I guess give themselves a cushion, because late in the game they missed 5-6 free throws, which is not normally what you see from the Huskies.
First free throw's good. Second one is as well. That should seal it. Inbound Watkins. Half court heaves off the glass. UConn, the powerhouse, perseveres. 80-73. The Huskies are on to the Final Four. They beat the Trojans 80-73 in Portland and are on to the Final Four for the 23rd time.
There's something about when you reach this particular game and you win this particular game. It may even be more emotional than winning a national championship game sometimes.
I really want to credit UConn. I mean, they earned their way to a Final Four. I don't think we gave it to them. I think they earned it. Sometimes to have the perspective and think about what another team has been through, I think is really important with the injuries they've had, with the way that Coach Gino adjusted throughout the course of the year. I credit them a ton.
Lindsey Gottlieb, who was here on After Hours just a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, the Trojans are in a good place. Juju will be around for at least a couple more years. Amazing young talent. And she's not the only freshman who will kind of carry this next wave of women's basketball once Caitlin Clark departs, and potentially even Angel Reese departs too. So yeah, for Juju, as a freshman, you are going through this season, the length of a season, for the first time. And so it takes so much out of you. That's why they talk about freshmen hitting a wall. Because in high school, you don't play this many games. You don't do the traveling like this. And so for her, it's her first time through it, which is another reason why it's so impressive mentally and physically that she was still performing at such a high level in the tournament. But experience was a factor, because they haven't had this group of players at this level at a Final Four. It was their first one in decades. They've got the right coach. They've got a good mix. And I certainly understand the emotion of having this run come to an end.
Of course, we fell short in the end. But like Lindsey said, it's been a great ride. I have the best teammates in the world. And I'm just glad next question.
The 18-year-old Juju Watkins fumbling around and coming up with next question, which I like. Again, I think this is, it's just indicative of that old adage, which I love to use, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. You hit the end of the road so dramatically a lot of times, right? And to have it come to an end so quickly when you've put everything into it, then bam, it's over just like that. But we cry because we care so much. And she has a great future in front of her. Can't wait to see what she does for an encore her sophomore season. But yeah, Juju Watkins, player to watch, and you can tell she left it all out there on the court. And I also love Paige Bueckers' advice to Juju Watkins, because Paige didn't have to say any of this, but her journey has been one that has featured a bunch of stops and starts, a lot of tears of her own, because a year ago she's been open about the fact that it was actually really tough for her to watch her teammates go to the Sweet 16 without her. And she begged God for another chance, she said, that he would give her a shot a year down the road to be playing in games like this again. And so she can certainly identify with coming up short, number one, but number two, not getting the end result, not meeting the goals and dreams that you've set for yourself.
Success is a process. It's tough, especially as a freshman, to be leading your team like that and have no experience in this sort of environment on this stage and lead your team. You feel a lot of pressure. But for her to have the year she had as a freshman, fearless, confident, one of the best players in the country, she's got a lot to build on. And I know getting here and feeling this loss, we've been a part of it. It's very motivating. And it lets you build experience on how to be better and how to learn from it. And so just take the good, continue to build on that, and focus on what you need to work on and do that too.
Paige knows, right? Because from the second she got to UConn, she was already a star. And so for her to pass on that counsel, that wisdom to Juju Watkins, I thought was really neat, emblematic of her leadership. Now, Paige had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2, no, what did I say, 6 assists? Yes, 3 steals. And the fact that she was limited in terms of turning the ball over, so she was efficient with it as well. But to have to watch and wait, her teammate, watch and wait and cheer on her teammates and know that it was going to be a long road once she tore her ACL. And this was like months before she got to the start of what would have been her junior year. I mean, she's really struggled with not being able to play and having to watch. And so it's really neat that now she has this chance, this kind of redemption in the Final Four.
Last year was really, the last couple years actually has been really like challenging on my mental, of me finding joy outside of the game, finding joy in the process, finding joy in trials and tribulations, and just, I feel like I've had adversity thrown my way, but at the same time, like, I'm super blessed to be in the position. Like, I got surgery for free, I got rehab for free, I'm surrounded by the best teammates, by the best coaching staff, and so many people that have helped me to get where I'm at today. So just looking at the positives in life and all that I do have instead of focusing on what I don't. It could be easy for me to sulk and be upset and just be sad about what life has thrown me these past couple of years. Or I could attack it with the mentality of being a leader, still being in the gym, smiling, motivating people, and being a leader in how hard I worked.
Yeah, they're more than just basketball players, as is every athlete, more than just a basketball player. But another reason why it's great that women's basketball is more high profile, that more people are tuning in, watching, and listening, is because you get to know young women with incredible character and heart like Paige Bueckers. And to find the silver lining and say, well, I got surgery for free and I got the rehab for free and I'm surrounded by people that I love. I'm surrounded by people who support me. And this has actually made me stronger. It's made me better as a player. It's made me a better leader. That perspective at her age, especially right after making a Final Four, she doesn't have to be contemplative. She doesn't have to be deep and sharing the wisdom. She could be, ah! And that would be her right. And she was when she was on the court. But to pass along that kind of wisdom, she's a role model for a lot of reasons. And basketball is not even the most impressive one. So it's good to be able to hear from these young women because they take not just the basketball, but they take the role of ambassador seriously as well. And you heard Angel Reese say last night or even last hour here on the show that she wants to be a role model. It's clear that they're cognizant of the fact that so many young girls and boys look up to them and are paying attention. And I think that's awesome because they're not only deserving of it, but they're setting good examples in so many arenas. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well. Coming up, you'll hear from Caitlin Clark. Gosh, more records falling by the wayside with her 41 points and 12 assists last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tonight, 9 triples for Caitlin in leading Iowa back to the Final Four. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
.9 seconds to go. Inbound to Clark. And Clark is going to dribble out to the right side. The crowd, it's on its feet. Clark dribbles a few times. 1 second. Final buzzer sounds. Revenge is a dish best served cold. And it's on the menu for the Iowa Hawkeyes. A year in the making. They were denied a national title in 2023. And they prevent LSU from making it back-to-back national champions. 94-87, Iowa over LSU. We're going to have a new champion in women's basketball, and the rock and roll capital of the world will welcome the rock star of college women's basketball as Iowa off to the Final Four for the second straight year.
It's amazing to be back in the Final Four. It's so hard to get there, especially with this region and how loaded this region was, but you know, we told ourselves we're the one seed for a reason. You know, we've earned this. We deserve to be in these moments. We're prepared for these moments. I think we came out here and, you know, our second and third quarters, we played really, really good basketball. And LSU's a really good team. They're hard to guard. They're such good one-on-one players. You know, they break you down. They make tough shots. They killed us on the glass. But we were just resilient.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Iowa women's basketball Twitter account has not yet updated its profile. 3 Final Fours. It should read 3 Final Fours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The final call of LSU Iowa from the Westwood One NCAA radio network and Lance Meadow, and then Caitlin herself advancing past LSU, though she did say this is not a rematch. It was going to be billed that way regardless. But honestly, the teams are different. That makes a lot of sense. Iowa lost a couple of starters from last year. LSU also has a couple of players that are gone. So it's different. And then think about the paths that they have taken to get to this point. So yes, different. And the outcome itself. Caitlin had 41 last year in the championship game. 41 this year, but maybe that's the only similarity. This was a track meet, so conditioning definitely mattered. She had 9 triples, including 4 deep threes in the third quarter that really set her team on a new trajectory. It had been, well, it was tied at halftime, actually, and it had been a real tug of war, a back and forth. Angel Reese was a force on the boards. She had 20 rebounds, 10 of them on the offensive end, and LSU sorely out-rebounded Iowa, but when Iowa would get out in transition, Caitlin was routinely able to either do a bounce pass through the lane or a wraparound, or she would catch one of her teammates streaking with a full-court pass, and they never have to break stride. I mean, it's incredible. Kate Martin had 21 points, a fellow senior, but then even with a player right in her grill, Now, I don't know that Haley Van Lith was going to be the answer because Haley's significantly shorter than Caitlin, and she'll even shoot over taller players. But for Haley to have a hand in her face doesn't really do a whole lot. Caitlin's just got skills, whether it's off the dribble, whether she's taking a step back. And yeah, Van Lith was throwing her hands up in the air, kind of like that shrug emoji, like, ah. And so when Caitlin gets started, but here's the interesting thing. Caitlin actually, while she started strong in this game and hit two of her first three, she hadn't been starting strong in the most recent tournament games.
I probably haven't been shooting it as good from three over the course of the last five or so games, but even if you told me that, I would still have 110% belief in myself and what I've been able to do this year. And to me, like, everything averages out over the course of the year. You know, I've had games where I've been 2 for 16. I've had games where I've been 9 of 15. Like, it all averages out, and I think that just speaks to the confidence that I have in myself and the time I've put in the gym. Like, I know I'm ready for this moment. I thought my shot felt good in warm-ups.
There's not a whole lot of strategy. You got to guard her. Nobody else seems to be able to guard her. We didn't even guard her last year when we beat them. She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. I think they had a kid that scored 21 and 18. She had 12 assists. Caitlin Clark's not going to beat you by herself. It's what she does to make those other teammates better that helps her score points and them score points to beat you. I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
I love that from Kim Mulkey. And if you didn't see the press conference, let me just tell you, she was smiling the whole time. I sure am glad you're leaving. That is absolutely Kim.
I said, I sure am glad you're leaving.
Dear John, anyway, it was neat. It was neat to see the respect among these players, Caitlin and Flau J. Johnson. They both shared an embrace, and then Caitlin and Angel Reese. It was brief, but Angel had fouled out. Now, the game was essentially decided by then, but she did foul out, and so that was tough ending for her. But they got their championship. They got their ring, and we'll see what happens with Angel now, whether or not she plans to stay in school or also declare for the WNBA draft. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, poor Haley Van Lith. I actually felt sorry for her. I don't know what else they could have done. Angel wouldn't be able to keep up with her for the entire game, maybe run different bodies at her. But essentially, Haley Van Lith was the sacrificial lamb.
Caitlin's very skilled. She's a great player. She hit some tough shots, and there's not a whole lot you can do about some of the threes she hit. And I think, you know, her role, or the team around her that plays a role, they did a good job of executing their role. So, you know, ultimately they played better than us, and that's what it was.
Caitlin, I feel like I've talked about her, like, used every word imaginable to describe her. But I, you know, I thought what she said today about her maturity has just grown so much over 4 years. I really saw that tonight. I mean, it could have been a highly emotional game. It could have been, a lot of talking going on out there just from what happened at the end of last year. And honestly, she put it aside. She put everything aside. And so I think her maturity, her communication with her teammates was really good tonight.
Lisa Bluter running out of things to say about Caitlin Clark, but she hopes two more games and a championship. And, you know, they've stopped giving Gatorade baths. Now it's confetti in the Gatorade tub. And so that they tip it upside down and it's just pieces of paper that come out. It's not the cold Gatorade anymore. Not an ice bath. Kind of a bummer, but I guess they don't want to clean up the court.
That was whack to me.
So instead, she got covered by confetti. And yeah, there's a special relationship between Bluter and Clark, and how that relationship has changed not just Iowa basketball, but the women's game, I hope, forever. And so this was a great battle. I really enjoyed it. It was tense. It was entertaining. It was electric. And there really wasn't much trash talking. I saw Angel a few times. There was a little bit of yelling and screaming. You had Caitlin, of course, egging on the crowd. Come on, let's go. And there was one point, too. Now, this was not Angel to anyone else except for her coach. So she wasn't saying this to other players, her teammates, or anybody else. But she was walking off the court. I don't know if they were going to a timeout or she had been subbed. And she says to Kim Mulkey, "Get me the bleeping ball." But see, she had just come off a stretch, though, where every time she touched the ball, she scored. And so I can understand that. But yeah, that to her coach, nothing. That's why Kim Mulkey is not intimidated by strong personalities, because she's got one too, and she wants her players, her best players, to demand the ball. And so as much as it reminded me a little bit of like a Tom Brady yelling at a coach, or I'm trying to think who who else yells at each other. I mean, you do have these emotions kind of boil over, but when you have a special relationship between a coach and an athlete, whether it's college or pro level, it makes a big difference. Oh, right. Andy Reid and Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl, right? They schluff it off like it's no big deal. Now, granted, they won. It's probably a bigger deal if they lose, but it's the same kind of thing. I should be out there, la, la. I mean, Angel was in Kim Mulkey's face screaming, but not screaming at her, just screaming, just needing to scream. That's sometimes what happens.
Viva Las Vegas!
No. Never again. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Tigers, come out to play. Hey. Someone sent me that on social.
Warriors, come out to play.
I guess we could do iconic movie lines. The problem is there's so many.
It's endless.
Right, that we wouldn't even know if they were true or not. People could be misquoting and we'd have no idea.
You could eventually, yeah. You could just say a line that could be from really anything at that point.
That's right.
Right? Like,
say anything, which was also an incredible movie.
Yes.
All right, coming up, just a little bit of leftovers. By the way, there was a no-hitter last night, in case you were wondering. Multiple walk-offs, a no-hitter, Pirates are still perfect, Tigers are still perfect. What is this world coming to? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update.
Warriors, come out to play!
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Can he make history? Not holding on Springer at first. 2-2 to Guerrero. Ground ball tap. Blanco lets it go by. Dubon Fields throws the first in time. A no-hitter! Odell Blanco! Yainer Diaz, the first to jump into his arms. And the rest of his teammates come out to mob him. Odell Blanco has thrown the 17th no-hitter in Houston Astros history as the Astros defeat the Toronto Blue Jays 10-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Call with Robert Ford on the Houston Astros Radio Network. That's the way that you get your first ever win. Well, your first win of the season, I suppose. Not your first ever, but your first ever in 2024. So I guess the Astros aren't going to go 0 for 162. Sorry, baseball fans, those of you who are still holding a grudge. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You know what was really kind of funny? Actually, once I realized that, it made me laugh a little bit. George Springer, who now plays for Toronto, but was part of that 2016. He was part of the second. Was he also part of the second one or no? The 22?
No, not the second one.
Okay, so he was part of the 16 World Series Championship. And he then had a front row seat for the Astros no-hitter on Monday night because Blanco had two walks. He walked George Springer to start the game, I believe, and then walked him again with two outs in the ninth. So Springer was the only base runner because he had walked two guys. But there were both times it was Springer. Anyway, so welcome back, George. So George gets to see Ronel Blanco in his eighth career start. He's 30 years old, only been in the majors a couple of years, and he's from the DR. Had to be one heck of a night for him. Now, he doesn't speak English. Through his translator, of course, talked about how great this was for him and his family. But it was a little more information from Jeremy Pena, the shortstop.
Just goes out and competes, you know, and I don't know if he's told y'all, but, you know, he just had a daughter. Aww. He had a daughter not too long ago, and I know it's a special moment for him.
Yeah, it's girls' night here on the show. He's a girl dad now, which makes me root for him even more. Nine innings pitched, only 105 pitches thrown, about 75% of which were strikes. But he did have the couple of walks, no hits, no runs, seven Ks. And right, the no-hitter can't happen on a night when there's nothing else going on. It has to happen on a night when we're also moving two more teams into the Final Four. So, yeah, it was one of those types of nights. Typical spring fling, spring bling here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Dean is listening in Wisconsin. Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad I got to talk to you. Congratulations on your wedding. I didn't know you were married because I don't tune in that often to you.
That's all right. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
But I had a question. What do you think happened to the Illini in the at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half to be outscored by 30 points?
You mean when they were giving up 30 in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they just got run. I mean, UConn got on a roll, played some really tough defense. They couldn't do much with Donovan Klingon on the inside, so that was part of the issue. But also, I felt like they got tight. It seemed like they did get shots. They just weren't able to get them to drop. And so, you know, some of it has to be tight and pressure and not having been on that stage. But just when UConn gets like that and gets in a groove, it's really difficult to stop them. But yeah, it didn't even take that long. It took, what, like 8-9 minutes of game time for them to put up 30 straight points?
Yeah, and I have three more statements to make if I can.
Oh, okay.
Okay, why, I don't think you have an answer for this, because I can't figure it out. Why did San Francisco elect to receive in the overtime? Why?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. Well, I actually think it makes perfect sense myself, but I may be the only one. Just really quickly to revisit in the Super Bowl in overtime, I actually think that Kyle Shanahan explained it pretty well. He said the defense was worn out. If you saw the video where the players are mic'd up, Nick Bosa is sitting on the sidelines at the end of regulation. He's got an oxygen mask on, and he says, this is not fun at all. I mean, the defense was wiped.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
And so they were hoping, you know, that they would be able to get some points or get a touchdown, obviously. And considering the offense, that's not it's not so far-fetched. And then the defense could go out there after getting a blow. So I don't think it was as crazy as what people make it out to be. And I certainly don't think that's where they quote-unquote lost the game.
Okay. And
okay.
Let's see. What else do I have? Did you hear the Brewers might not be able to serve refreshments after today?
I did not hear that. Is that because why?
If they lose the opener.
Oh, how come?
You get it, the opener, if they lose the home opener.
I'm sorry, I guess I'm not that smart.
Oh, you know, the home opener, that's what they call it. If they lose the opener, then they won't be able to serve refreshments. That somebody told me that.
Oh.
So,
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I had one more comment.
All right, really quick.
You know, I don't think they should really call it March Madness because teams aren't mad that they're playing. They're glad. So I think they should call it March Gladness.
Right, but then the alliteration wouldn't be nearly as much fun.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, thanks. Have a good evening.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you, Dean. Jay, can we have a chat?
I don't know where. I guess while he was waiting, he had some other thoughts, compiled a list, and because I only heard about the Fighting Illini. That's huh. All. And I was like, all right, yeah, that's topical. I don't know where the Super Bowl came from.
Well, he really wanted to know.
He seemed like.
Do you think I changed his mind?
I think he did actually. He's like, yeah, that makes sense. So I think you really helped him out there. So good.
All right. It's funny because we've just been generating categories for our Final Four run, and he almost had four different categories. Am I just not very clever? I don't get the joke. Is it like referring to can opener?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh.
I feel like really stupid that I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. Brewers, beer, bottle opener. I don't know.
But he said refreshments, though. He didn't say.
I don't know. He said it maybe, like a few times. So
maybe that's what he meant is they can't serve alcohol anymore because they lost the opener.
No one would go to the game.
No. They lost the bottle opener, meaning they lost the opener, but not the game, but the bottle opener.
There it is.
But I was thinking can opener, and then I'm thinking, why cans? Okay, so anyway.
You got it. That makes sense now. I get it.
The bottle opener?
Right. So if you lose the opener, you can't open the brewer, the beer. I don't know. That was a stretch.
Huh. It's March Gladness. That's it. That's
it's a happy name.
It is. It is definitely happy. All right. Let's talk to Matt, who's in Arizona. Matt, what part of Arizona are you in?
I am in Sun City West, just 5 minutes from Surprise, where Kansas City
Surprise.
And the Texas Rangers play spring training baseball.
Fun. I like it.
Okay. Well, hey, I just want to compliment you just on a few things. Again, old news, but congratulations on your wedding.
Hey, it's not old news to me. Thank you.
Okay. Secondly, how did you trim off the time as I listened to earlier tonight? You're a couple years older in the marathon.
Ouch.
And you had your best record.
Oh.
How, just off the top of your head, what did you do that made the difference for this training this time?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. Number one, the weather was much better, and it was cold, which I'm more invigorated in the cold. But in terms of the training, yeah, I didn't have any knee pain, knee issues at all, which was nice because the last time I was training for one of these, last year I was dealing with a little bit of knee pain, which kind of limited. But I honestly do think it was the fact that the weather just worked so perfectly because my last one I ran in a, I'm not kidding, a tropical storm, like an actual tropical storm. With 60 mile per hour wind gusts, and it was terrible. It was hideous. The only reason I kept running is because I knew that if I didn't, it would take me longer to finish, and I was soaked to the bone. And the one before that, I didn't train fully. Instead, I went and hiked the Grand Canyon, so I just didn't quite do my full training, and it was also pretty warm that day, so it was a little warmer than what I might have liked. But yeah, I think the course had a lot to do with it too. It was mostly flat, except for there were these ramps I had to run eight times. But I kind of knew what it was too. That makes a difference as well when you know the course. And you had to run it for like this particular loops. You had to run them multiple times.
And you came prepared. You had the stocking cap.
That's true. That's true. I did not know where my earpiece was, but I had the stocking cap.
But now, just let me know when you got to go. Another soon. Question for yeah. you. A few years back, I'd be like Googling around.
Uh-oh.
And I would come into.
Never do that.
Your blog.
Oh,
and so about, do you think about what, three times a year when you have time, you pick a subject and you blog about it?
Well, thank you for asking. That's so nice of you. I try to do more than three times a year.
I know.
But it does have to do with time. Generally, it's about something that's on my heart, something that I have been thinking about that's been weighing on me, or something that people are asking me a lot about, and then I'll turn it into a blog.
I realize that. And yeah. Boy, I must say, yes. I'm not kissing up to you in any means, but I must say,
thanks, Matt.
They are well well written.
I appreciate that.
And I could have seen you writing for The Athletic, my friend.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Writing's more of a labor of love for me. It doesn't come as easily as talking. Talking is my first love. But it does stretch me in a different way, and I appreciate that. And actually, I do it a lot when I want to share pictures, but I don't want to put them on other social media sites.
Quite moving. Some of your pieces were quite moving for Lady... sports people that want to get into the business, how you broke into the business.
Thank you.
And,
I appreciate
and all that. And then...
I'm so sorry. We have like under a minute in the music.
Okay. I'll squeeze this one in. Am I correct that you're going over to Syracuse to teach or be a guest speaker over there about broadcasting?
Yes, actually, I'm teaching a class that I designed for the second straight spring, Matt. So you're so kind. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Okay. Good luck to you. I appreciate it. Amen. Amy, you're the best.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. I appreciate that as well. Those two calls couldn't have been more opposite end of the spectrum, except both kind of chatty. By the way, Jay, you and I, first of all, we did not get the Brewers joke. People are explaining it to us. Second of all, the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. Astros won in 17. I was thinking, this doesn't sound right. Yeah, so thank you for reminding us those dates. They get all blurred together. All right, tonight is the Hump Show, so join us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.